The endless parade of time. Who can say what fruits the future will see ripen? We can only keep looking towards
tomorrow's world with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
This week, Stella Huggins and Isla Christensen investigate the growing problem of pseudoscience. Looking at popular media such as TikTok and Netflix shows, they differentiate between scientific terminology's use in literature and how it can be used in some cases to twist evidence. So basically, what is a fact, theory, hypothesis, and law?
Hey Earthlings!
I'm Isla Christensen.
And I'm Stella Huggins.
Welcome back to Tomorrow's World, the Wire segment where we investigate some big ideas of science and how they impact you and individuals and wider society.
Last episode we talked with Dr. Rosie Bosworth about the future of food and we learnt a lot about where our sustenance is headed.
This episode we're going to be tackling the admittedly large topic of pseudoscience through a couple of case studies.
From the infamous Netflix series The Goop Lab with Gwyneth Paltrow to TikToks about the Earth's core, we'll see how pseudoscience twists the narrative.
So let's break down what pseudoscience actually is. So it describes a collection of beliefs and practices that are mistakenly perceived as being based on scientific method of, I guess, facts.
And it's becoming bizarrely common in the age of information, as a growing volume of knowledge makes it increasingly difficult to pick out what's real and what's not.
And I guess it's important to talk about worldwide movements that have thrived on misinformation and some crossed wires, but also as scientists here as well and people, we acknowledge that there are multiple worldviews and multiple realities of what is real and not. But today we're going to be breaking down the difference between theories, hypotheses and scientific laws and the idea of the scientific method to be repeated until you can be pretty sure that something is scientifically significant.
But shows like The Goop Lab represent a less dramatic but still worrying trend, showing the expanding scope of pseudoscience. And for the purposes of our discussion on the topic, pseudoscience can also encapsulate scenarios where scientific data and valid hypotheses are accosted by either commercial or personal interests and twisted to fit a certain narrative.
And so the facts underlying the theories may be valid, but their claims and the benefits often are hyperbolic and sometimes twisted beyond recognition, or as we will hopefully describe to you, often selective in their findings. So let's get into our first example. So Stella, have you seen the movie Journey to the Centre of Earth?
Can't say I have, but I'd love to go to the centre of the Earth one day.
Do you think scientists have gone to the centre of Earth?
You know what? I really don't know, Isla.
So you might have learnt, and like I did at school, that there are four kind of layers to the Earth. You've got the inner core, the outer core, the mantle. So how do scientists know that they exist if they haven't gone?
A really big camera.
A big camera? That's pretty close to the idea. What we're going to do is following on from our last podcast on TikTok, I looked up hashtag science and scrolled through until I found this video that I'm going to play for you now.
I'm about to blow your mind. The outer core, inner core, and mantle of the Earth is a hypothesis. I've spoken to my geology professor about this. The entire concept is a hypothesis. We don't actually know. We assume that the mantle is 80% magnesium because we take samples from volcanoes and things like that. We assume that there's a liquid outer core because S waves, which can't pass through a liquid, are bouncing off somewhere random within the middle of the Earth instead of passing right through. And we assume that the outer core and the inner core is mostly iron because of the magnetic polarity of the Earth. But did you know that scientists have actually tried numerous times to dig through the crust into the mantle to find actual evidence that it exists, but we can't get there because the pressure is too much? So scientists just take these little bits and pieces of fact, put it together to form a hypothesis that we teach as fact.
So those bits and pieces of fact that she's describing, that would be dubbed evidence. That's evidence.
You should have seen Stella's face as I played it for her.
A little bit flabbergasted, I'll be honest.
So what do you think? She kind of throws around these ideas of hypotheses and facts. And mm-hmm. So I'm not here to tell you, you know, that the core exists, that this is the material. I just want to talk about, I guess, the idea of what is a fact.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a difficult topic because there are, as you say, a lot of different worldviews on the matter, but it's difficult to reconcile in my head when someone says, so they're just taking these random pieces of information and compiling them. How can we trust that? That's evidence.
So taking it a step back, the circumference of the innermost inner core is 750 kilometres squared.
Wow.
So it's big. And so scientists, as the video explained, Yeah, they haven't gone in because of high pressures and because there isn't really a core drill long enough to go that long. But what they have done, and I think it's interesting even reading about it online, either from Google or going into articles, that even the terminology used were 1936 that the core was discovered, looking at seismic waves of earthquakes. But what really is happening, and I think is the most important thing that we want to talk about today, is that the theory of the Earth core is based on information from a hypothesis. So the idea is that scientists might have a hypothesis as to what happens, and then with their theories and using the scientific method, repeating data and looking at it, and from taking facts that they already know, they can make these assumptions or put together potentially to explain a theory. And there's an idea that if a theory happens enough that it becomes a law, that's not necessarily true. So a scientific law is something that is just explaining a phenomenon that does happen, and then the theory explains the why.
Interesting. So the terminology is confusing, and it changes from scientific method to lay terms. So the terms that we use every day aren't directly correlated to the terms used in the scientific method. So that creates some confusion.
Absolutely. I don't think you'd ever see a scientist saying, this is for fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what we can do is we can use this information and the terminology, so when science is put into communication or, you know, put into a news article, we can kind of start to critique it ourselves and just looking at what terminology is being used. Enough about the floating earth rock that we live on. Let's get into some juicy on Netflix.
There is a particular Netflix show called The Goop Lab by Gwyneth Paltrow that is absolutely expert in exploiting the placebo effect and twisting knowledge. So you may have heard of Gwyneth Paltrow. She is known for phenomena such as the exploding vagina candle. So with her extensive knowledge being an actress, she decided to launch a science site, as one does. So assuring their audience that they're well-versed in the scientific method, they have a section on their website called Goop PhD.
Goop PhD makes the valid point that the scientific research is full of jargon that's hard to unpack in lay terms.
And this is true, as we just talked about, but there's some questionable claims being made by the show. For instance, the crew visits John Amaral, a self-described energy practitioner.
Sick. My vibes are off.
Well, if you have a spare $2,500 to spend and a way of getting to Los Angeles, John can help you out.
That's one expensive vibe check.
It sure is. And the episode shows the Goop group, each being laid on a chiropractor table and having their energy cleansed by Mr. Amaral, who claims that he can see energy fields and tweak them back to perfection.
Hold on, wait, physics check now. Quantum physics describes energy fields, does it not?
You're absolutely right. And the famous double slit experiment is also cited in this episode. However, this experiment that illustrates that light can act as waves and particles doesn't really seem to have a clear link to energy fields.
I'm sensing some cherry-picking of information going on here.
And that is the majority of the problem here, save for the significant issue of the show conceding that this therapeutic tactic is not quantifiable. That is a direct quote.
And that's quite important to science.
The most unfortunate thing about this to me is that it's muddying the beautiful vision of mindfulness meditation. And I'm a public believer in the benefits of meditation. Unlike this treatment, meditation has quantifiable effects.
So classic example of valid facts being twisted and changed beyond recognition.
Exactly. So it obviously won't tell you what to believe, but a good way to vet your info is to look at the language that the media uses. If the practitioner themselves is saying, by the way, this treatment has no quantifiable measurement, maybe just be a bit more sceptical than usual.
Holy goop. Stella, thank you for sharing that with us.
So there you have it. Pseudoscience is rife in our modern society, but there are ways to spot it, and there are ways to debunk it. Stay critical, Earthlings, and have a quacking good day.
Looks like everything's gonna be all right.
Tomorrow's World with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95 BFM.